Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I trust God that you and your loved ones are doing well. Our Father is so good. He's so amazingly good. He's awesome. He's wonderful in our lives. Glory to God. Whew. He's so amazing. And we continue to celebrate His love. His love for us. His love, His great, His deep love, immeasurable love for us. Well, I thank you for joining us wherever you are joining us from and on whatever platform you are joining us. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of our Bible study tonight. Glory to God. It's always a privilege. I don't know about you, but this is not a burden at all. This is not a yoke. I don't even consider this a sacrifice. I don't know how many children, how many babies consider being nurtured by their mother a sacrifice. most babies, when they are hungry, can hardly wait to be breastfed or to be nourished, whatever ways they are being fed. Little children, when they're hungry, they're just so happy, so excited to be fed by their parents or by their nannies, whoever is taking care of them. I don't believe if you ask a child, is this a sacrifice for you being around the table eating tonight and satisfying your hunger? I don't believe any of those children will say, yeah, it's a huge sacrifice. No. No, they're just thankful that there is a mom or a dad or an aunt or someone, a nanny or somebody who loves them enough to feed them and to take care of them. So I would not even describe our coming around the Word of God. It's only when people think about spiritual things, that's when they start thinking in terms of, oh, it's a big sacrifice for me. It's a big sacrifice for me to be in church. It's a big sacrifice for me to attend Bible study. It's a big sacrifice for me to sow a seed. It is a big sacrifice for me to serve the Lord. Well, if we have good understanding, if we have great and clear understanding, what we recognize is the one who's made the sacrifice and who continues to make the sacrifices is really our Father. It cost Him everything. It cost Him everything to buy us back, to give us the blessing of redemption. It cost our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, it cost Him everything to shed His blood, to hang on the cross, to give us abundant life. It cost Him everything. What does it cost us to take that? So yeah, I know in the world, our world today, it's like, oh, such a big sacrifice to make out some time to study, to be in Bible study with the saints, to, you know, to serve or to go to church or to... People think that's big sacrifice. No, that is not. That is not. Is not by any means sacrifice. That's, we're being paid where the Lord is blessing us. Like we're putting ourselves in position to reap a harvest of His blessings. That's not sacrifice. Now, there are some things that are a sacrifice. When we go over and beyond what is expected of the average regular person, regular Christian, when we go way over and beyond what what the regular believer would do to enhance God's ability to minister to his people, to serve him, to make things available in his house or in his kingdom, to be an extension and a conduit of his love and his power to the world, to go out, like Jesus said, to carry our cross and to follow him, deny ourselves and follow him. And that sacrifice, that's to give everything, to completely empty ourselves, to deprive ourselves, to deny ourselves, that is sacrifice for no immediate rewards, no immediately apparent rewards, I should say, because the rewards are always guaranteed. The Bible says God is not unrighteous that he should forget your labor of love, my labor of love, in that we have ministered and we continue to minister to the saints, right? That's a labor of love, right? Because when we expend ourselves like that, when we stretch ourselves like that to give beyond what the regular person or the regular Christian would give, to do beyond what the regular believer would do, when we expend ourselves like that, when we empty ourselves, when we give all that we have and beyond, hallelujah. That is a labor of love. And the Bible says that the Lord will reward us for it. So glory to God. Praise God for all of those opportunities to serve. But you and I, coming around the Word of God regularly, we may be tired from work. Yeah, but you know, work has its place too. Like we go to work because we want to earn a living. So that has its place. But our spiritual lives really take precedence over everything else. Nothing should get in the way of that. Nothing should compete with our ability to make ourselves available to our Father, to do whatever he has assigned us to do, to fulfill his purpose, to pursue his vision. Glory to God. To be conduits and channels for our Father to a lost and a dying and a hopeless world. That is just glorious. That is just glorious. That is an amazing privilege. And I'm so thankful that you and I are called to be a part of that. Glory to God. Well, that was such an introduction. I'm really excited about the Word of God tonight. So let's share a word of prayer and let's dive right in. We've already given up some time, so let's try to take advantage of as much time as we have left in our studies tonight. There's a whole lot, I believe, that the Lord wants to give to us. Father, we're so thankful to you. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for calling us. You called us out of darkness and translated us into the kingdom, the marvelous kingdom of light of your Son. Thank you. Thank you for saving us, for delivering us. Thank you for predestinating us. Thank you for justifying us. Thank you for making us candidates for your glory. We bless your name tonight. Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome you. I ask you to minister to every one of us. Lord, think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords. I pray for understanding hearts, Lord, ability to participate and to be alert and awake. For my brothers and sisters tonight, that all of us will be caught up together as we participate in this celebration of the Word of God, as we learn, as we gain understanding and knowledge. Father God, that you alone will be glorified. I thank you, Father. I give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. We are celebrating the love of God. We have been studying and just looking at different aspects of the love of God. And we want to continue that tonight. I'm going to dive right in. You know, 1 John 3:1, we've read this several times now. What an incredible quality of love our Father has given to us, that we should be called, we should be declared as the children of God. And so, yeah, the Bible says. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14, Paul was praying. It's one of those prayers he prayed for the church, that we may know the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of God. That because when we have a revelation knowledge of the love of God, then we become full of the fullness, or full with the fullness of God. And that's what we've been doing. The cup, we had, I had an illustration last week with my cup, glass of water that I feel to overflowing. Glory to God. Started out with a half measure, but as we topped that cup and topped it and topped it, eventually got to a place where the cup started to overflow. That's what we're doing. As we top and top with knowledge and with revelation regarding the word of God, our cup of understanding, our cup of revelation knowledge in the love of God will grow to the point where it the cup is full and then it begins to overflow. And when it begins to overflow, that means we are abounding. That means we're taking as much of the love of God. We're filling ourselves with that love. And because we're doing that, we become full of the fullness and of the power of that love. In that same Ephesians 3, the Bible tells us, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. And we learned last week, the power that is at work within us is the power of God's love in our heart. Amen. The power of God's love in our heart. And the Lord does exceeding abundantly, over and above anything we can ask, think, or imagine, based on the abounding love of God in our hearts. Amen. This is one of the glorious, glorious revelations that the Lord is opening our eyes to see. But last week, we left off at Romans chapter 8, that powerful scripture that talks about the love of God. And that's really where I want us to begin from tonight. I don't think you have that. I want us to go back to Romans chapter 8, and I actually want to read from verse 35. And I want to read this from the Passion Translation. I don't believe you have the Passion Translation. So I'm going to ask that you listen. I'm going to read it slowly. But I mean, this will cause you to dance. This will cause you to celebrate. This will cause you to rejoice. Hallelujah. Just hearing those words will do something to you, like it's done to me every time I've read it. Amen. It's so rich. It's so full of power. It's so full of depth, so full of grace. I want to share that with you tonight as we open up our studies. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 in the Passion Translation of the Bible. It says, who could ever separate us from the love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. So it tells us there, God's love is endless. God's love for us is endless. God doesn't have a last nerve. God doesn't have a cutoff mark, a cutoff point where he gives up on us. No, God's love for us as children is endless. God will never stop loving us. And that love is manifested through his anointed one. Who is the anointed one? The Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God is manifest in the lives of believers through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the anointed one. He says, who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Oh, I love it. Nothing in this world, nothing in this entire universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. So there may be sometimes trouble in our lives. Sometimes there will be pressures that all of us will deal with. Sometimes we'll have to confront problems. Every believer deals with these things. But it says, there is none of those things. Troubles, pressures, problems. None of them are able to come between us and our Father's love. Glory to God. Then it says, what about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? Death threats. No, for they are all impotent to hinder God's omnipotent love. They are impotent to hinder God's omnipotent love. Glory to God. There is nothing you deal with. And somebody may say, well, Pastor, I'm not dealing with much right now. I'm happy. I'm in a good place. Great. Praise God. Me too. But you know, as we walk the journey of life, things are going to happen to all of us. Things are going to come up that will test our faith. There will be trials, sometimes persecutions, difficulties that we will endure. But the Bible says none of those things will be potent enough to hinder and to limit God's omnipotent love. I love the fact that he describes God's love as omnipotent. There are a number of things we're learning about the love of God, even just from these scriptures we're reading tonight. And these things are so powerful. It says God's love is omnipotent. That is, God's love is all powerful. God's love is all powerful. There is nothing that can withstand the power of the love of God. In fact, last week, I believe in our studies, we said the greatest security on this earth is the guarantee of the love of God. God's love is all powerful, omnipotent. God's love can deliver us. God's love can protect us. God's love can promote us. God's love can nourish us. God's love can heal and deliver us. God's love can restore us to a new beginning. God's love can give us a fresh start in life. No matter what pit of life we may have been in, God's love can bring us out. God's love can put our feet on the rock to stay. God's love can fill us with joy and hope and peace. Hallelujah. God's love is omnipotent. And it says all of these things are impotent to hinder us from God's omnipotent love. So you may not be dealing with anything right now, but remember, when they do come in the future, remember, none of the things that you and I ever confront or deal with is potent enough to ever hinder the power of the love of God that has been shed towards us. So that means there's a guarantee we will come out like Joseph when he left home with that coat of many colors that his father gave him. That was the guarantee. You will come out. They may throw you in the pit, but you will come out. They may put you in the prison, but you will come out. Hallelujah. They may mistreat you in Potiphar's house, but you will come out. You will always overcome. Because of the power of the love of God, you and I will always overcome. Can you make this confession of faith with me tonight? I will always overcome. Say that one more time. I will always overcome. Why? Because of the power of the love of God. God loves us so much that there is no failure in our future. The love that God has for us is not just love from the past. It's not just based on the sacrifices that Jesus already made. There are things going on today, right now, as you and I are sitting around the Word of God. There are things going on right now in the heavenlies that are a result of the love that our Father has for us, because Jesus is committed to guaranteeing the eternal future that the Lord designed for us. There are prayers going up for us, for you and for me right now. The Lord Jesus Christ on the right hand of the Father is interceding for you, for me. He's guaranteeing the future. He didn't just pay the price. He didn't just pay that ultimate price. Gave up his life on the cross. He did that. Glory to God. Thank God he did that. But that's not all he did. Today and tomorrow and forever, he's continuing to intercede for us so that the eternal redemption that the Father provided for us can be guaranteed for our entire lives. When you are in the love of God, you are secure permanently forever. No, nothing can take you away from his hands. Remember, Jesus, even in his prayer in John 17, he said, I've not lost any of the ones you gave to me except the son of perdition. Well, praise God, none of us are children of perdition, right? So Satan can't pluck us from the hands of our Father. Look, you can rest assured that your eternity, your future, your life, your destiny is guaranteed and secure because of the love of God. You can rest assured. There are no maybe, maybe nots about it. Because of the love of God, your eternal redemption, eternal well-being, your eternal success, your eternal glory is secure because of the love of God. I love it. I love it. God's love is omnipotent. Then it goes on in verse 36. Even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yeah, that is that. Tribulation comes the way of believers. Sometimes, you know, the enemy puts things around us and sometimes we feel like we're so vulnerable. We're like lambs being led to the slaughter, right? And that's what he's saying. So even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God. Even though the Satan is constantly trying to surround our lives with booby traps, always trying to get us to fall, always trying to tempt us and lure us in the wrong way, always trying to cause us to stumble. Every day he's working hard at it, trying to trip us up, trying to make us say the wrong things so that we can reap the wrong harvest, trying to make us do the wrong things, trying to make us fall over and trip and stumble. He's working nonstop. But no matter what he does, we are secure in the love of God. He says, even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Look at verse 37. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. Why? For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. God has made us more than conquerors. God has made you more than conquerors. I know you say that. We sing it in some songs. We say it. But I want that to sink into your spirit tonight. Tonight, you and I, we're taking a deep baptism. We're taking a deep bath. We're taking a deep immersion into the depth of the love of God for us. We're taking a deep immersion. We're immersing ourselves again tonight in the depths of the love of God for us. Hallelujah. Our victory is guaranteed, he says. See, look at it. He says, God makes us triumph over them all. He has made us more than conquerors. And his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. We have the victory. We will always have the victory. Today, tomorrow, and forever, we will always have the victory. No matter what, we will always have the victory. No matter what we confront, no matter what we encounter, we will always have the victory. Failure is not in our story. No. No, 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 no. Failure is not a part of our destiny. We will always have the victory. Glory to God. Then he said, I hope you are enjoying this Passion Translation. Pastor, I just love it. I mean, this is just making me dance, making me sing. I love it. I love the way it's putting it right here. So many other translations do the same, but I'm really zeroing. I'm kind of hooked on this particular translation for our studies tonight. Glory to God. Then he said in verse 38, so now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. Nothing. There's nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I am convinced that his love will triumph over death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His love will triumph over death. Even when there is death, his love will triumph over death. He says, I'm convinced his love will triumph over death. His love will triumph over life's troubles. No matter how serious the troubles are, no matter how big the dangers are, love will triumph over it. Love will win over it. Love will overcome it. Hallelujah. No matter the depth of the deprivation, no matter the depth of the lack, no matter the depths of the assault of the enemy, love will triumph over it. Have you heard the expression, love always wins? It is true. Love always wins. And that's not just in our relationships with one another. It is very true in our relationships with one another. Have you found out? Have you noticed that the people of love, a person of love, can never be dominated? A person of love can never be won. You can never be trampled down under. If you are a person of love, you can never be subjugated by life's assaults. No human or element can ever trample you down if you're a person of love. It's impossible. There's a principle, there's an eternal universal principle that the person of love, people of love always rise up and people of love always conquer. Have you noticed, even in our world, the more the elements, the more society, the more culture, the more all these things try to suppress the people of God, people of love, the more they rise up, the stronger they are. Remember way back then in the Old Testament, in the time of Pharaoh, remember the children of Israel in Egypt, when they did everything they could, made their lives, the Bible says once in Exodus chapter 2, they made their lives bitter with rigor. They made them serve with rigor. That means they put so much difficulties on their lives to break them, but they never could break them. Love always wins, my friend. Wherever you are today, I want you to know love always wins. And even though this is not my focus tonight, if you are dealing with people, difficult situations, oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I think that's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say to someone tonight. If you are dealing with difficult people, difficult situations, and sometimes you feel like you are going to be overwhelmed, you are going to be overcome, you are going to be conquered. I want you to know the Lord is sending you this tonight. Love will always win. You put on the garment of the love of God. You fill your heart with the love of God. You will always win. You will never be overcome. Love always wins. That's what the Bible is telling us tonight. Nothing in the universe has the power to separate us from the love of God. I'm convinced that His love will triumph over death. His love will triumph over life's troubles. His love will triumph over fallen angels. You know, that's Satan. Many times when we read that in the King James, it doesn't, you know, it says shall death, shall tribulation, shall angels. And we don't really realize, because you're reading it in the King James, we don't really realize it's not God's angels. God's angels have no business trying to separate us from the love of God. They never do. They never will try. Because their assignment is to serve us, is to work with us, to make our lives easy, to make our lives better, to draw us closer to the Lord. But there are fallen angels, and we are surrounded by them. Some of them in the New Testament are described as principalities and powers, the wickedness, evil wickedness, in this world. In some of Paul's letters, he describes them. Those fallen angels constantly try to assault us, constantly try to besiege us to make our lives difficult. But the Bible says they don't have the power. They don't have the power to overcome us or separate us from the love of God. Sometimes those principalities walk through personalities. There are people who don't know that they have actually taken on the assignment of these fallen angels. And everything they do around our lives is to try to put us down, is to try to make our lives difficult. They are harsh to us. They are unkind to us. They put obstacles and difficulties on our way, trying to limit us, trying to stop us on our destiny. But the power of the love of God is superior to anything that those fallen angels can try to do in our lives. This is real. The activities of principalities and powers, demonic spirits, that seek to exercise dominion over us, even though we have been given God's authority over them. And some of them show up in personalities. Like somebody said, principalities. Principalities sometimes operate through personalities. But because we are secure in the love of God, those things they can't stop us. They don't have the power to stop us. They don't have the power to limit us. Because we are secure in the love of God. It says, all dark rulers in the heavens. I like that. Life's troubles, death, life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. These are the principalities and powers we're talking about. They don't have the power. They can't stop us. Sometimes they succeed, they may even succeed in maybe knocking us down a little bit, you know, temporarily. Sometimes we may fall on our face and wonder, oh God, how did I not pay attention and let this attack of the enemy overwhelm me? Why did I buy into the lie of this foul spirit? Why did I let them overcome me? Why did I stop paying attention, lose my focus, and then let them sneak behind me and take advantage of me? Why did I make myself vulnerable? Sometimes that happens to believers when we're not focused, when we're not paying attention, or when we are not standing our grounds. Like Ephesians chapter 6 says, when Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. Sometimes we're not putting on that whole armor. We think we are, but sometimes we're not. And Satan sneaks around because he knows where there are cracks. And he sneaks around. And sometimes he actually gets away with it. Sometimes we lose our temper. And for days, we wonder how we allowed that anger to push us to the point where we said those nasty things. Sometimes it's hard to forgive. because of some of the difficulties of the situations we have to deal with. But regardless, they don't have the power to stop us, is what the Word of God is assuring us tonight. Hallelujah. They do not have the power. There is nothing, I love this, he says, there is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken the love of God for us. Woo! Hallelujah. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken the love of God for us. Verse 39, Romans 8:39. There is no power above. This is the Passion Translation that I'm reading. It's so powerful. I love it. There is no power above us or beneath us. No power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. I really like that part. The love of God is lavished upon us. In one scripture we read in Romans chapter 5 a couple of weeks ago, the Bible says that God commended his love toward us. And we studied that a little bit. We're going to go back to it at some point. We found out the original meaning of that word commended is the expression to pour out. God poured out a limitless measure of his love over us. The love of God is immeasurable toward us. Hallelujah. That's why it's bountiful. It's limitless. It will never run out. It will never run out. It's endless. The love of God for us is endless. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said the love of God is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. I really love this. Now, to get the full context of these promises that are given us in Romans chapter 8, where I know I read from verse 35 all the way down to 39 in the Passion, you really ought to back up a little bit, and I can't go all the way back, but even if you just go back to verse 27, and let's look at this in the King James, just to get the context and to have to appreciate the full context of the benefits of the love of God, it's reading from verse 35 or from verse 31 is awesome, but we actually need to back up a little bit, right? And look at verse 27, Romans chapter 8, it says, he who searches the heart, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You and I are going to see this as we go forward in just a minute here, because I'm going to zero in on a particular verse here. One of the most powerful things about the love of God is not just what he did. What he's already done is, if he never did anything beyond that, it's absolutely powerful, absolutely glorious, hallelujah, absolutely securing. But beyond what the Lord Jesus Christ already did, the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, has a ministry toward every believer today that is rooted in the love of God. When he died for us, it was based on the love of God. When he rose up from the dead, it was based on the love of God. When he ascended to heaven, it was based on the love of God. But beyond all of that, because all of those have already happened, and praise God, glory to God for all of those redemptive acts of the Lord Jesus Christ. But beyond all of that, there's a ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of every believer today. It's a ministry of intercession. Constantly, every day, Jesus is praying for you and Jesus is praying for me. What's he praying for? To secure and to guarantee every promise of the love of God, some of which we just read about tonight. He's interceding for us in the presence of the Father. That's why I said earlier on during our studies tonight, your eternal redemption is secure. It's guaranteed and secure. Your blessed destiny is guaranteed and secure. It's not subject, is not subject to anything going on in the world. It is secure because Jesus already paid the price for it, but every day, because of his love for you and for me, he intercedes for us. Listen to that scripture again in verse 27. He who searches the heart, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit does. You are going to see he does it on account of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you are going to see in one of the scriptures that we read in just a few minutes, how Jesus himself, and we're going to go read that in Hebrews as well, is constantly, every day, interceding for you and for me. You can never be lost if you stay in the love of God. You can never be overcome if you stay in the love of God. You can never lose out if you stay in the love of God. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how hopeless situations become, you can never, ever, ever lose out because of the love of God. As long as you stay in the love of God, you can never lose out because Jesus is praying for you. He's lifting you up before the Father every day, praying for you and praying for me. Long before we come into situations, he anticipates them. He knows they are coming. He knows things are coming. He knows what's going to happen. He anticipates them and he intercedes for us long before we come into situations, so we can never lose out. Our destiny is secure in Christ because of the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that. Good. Then in verse 28, this is because of the love of God. I know all of us know Romans 8:28, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Why? Why? How come? How do we know that all things will work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose? How do we know that? Because of the love of God for us. The love of God guarantees that every situation we deal with in our lives will work for our good. It is the guarantee of the love of God for the believer. Because of the love of God for us, everything we deal with in our lives will work together for our good. It may even look like when you first get started, it may even look like this may not be good. This may not end well. No. The Bible says, because of the love of God, everything will work together for your good and for mine. Hallelujah. Because of the love of God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. So he foreknew us. Remember in Jeremiah 1:5, he said, I knew you before you were in the womb of your mother. Where he foreknew us based on his love. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. He predestinated us based on his love. Predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. Before we ever did anything good or bad, he predestinated us based on his love for us. That he, Jesus, may be the firstborn among many brethren. So we are one of the brethren. We are one of the children. Hallelujah. Long before we even knew our right from our left, Jesus paid the price so that we will be one of the brethren. We'll be one of the children. We are sons and daughters of our living Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why is that? Because of the love of God. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. How come? Why did he call us? He called us because of his love. He called us out. Whom he called, he also justified. We are justified. What's the word justified? What does it mean? Just as if. Just as if. We never did wrong. Justified. Just as if we were never disqualified. Just as if we were never outside of the boundaries of his provisions. Just as if we were never outside of his love. He justified us based on his love. And who he justified, them he also glorified. Ha! We're glorified. You and I are candidates of the glory of God. Amen. We're candidates of the glory of God. We are glorious. We are gloriously prepared. We're gloriously prepared. We're gloriously destined. Remember that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Hallelujah, verse 9, I think it is. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But those things are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And then in the verses leading to that, he called the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord of glory. If the princes of this world had known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. They would never have done it, right? Well, he came, he's the Lord of glory because he came to call us as sons and daughters into the glory of God. And in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says he did not take on the nature of angels. No, but he took on the nature of Abraham so that he can become like us. And then he can call us as sons and daughters and make us a part of the glory of God. And he said, I and the children that God has given to me, we are for signs and for wonders. Hallelujah. That's all because of his love. We are heirs of the glory of God because of the love of God. Amen. Amen. And they say, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Why is he for us? It's for us because of the love of God. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Why did he give us Jesus? Because of his love for us. Why does he freely give us all things today? Because of his love for us. Hallelujah. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. He's the one who justifies us. He makes us guiltless. There is therefore now, Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is God who justifies us. No one can condemn us. Satan can point the finger. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, right? But we are already justified. He's just wasting his time. The next time somebody points at you and say, and you call yourself a Christian, and you said that, and you did that, just tell them, shush, I'm already justified. I cannot be condemned. Hallelujah. Because of the love of God. Because of the love of God. Hallelujah. But you know, look at verse 34. And let's read that first from the King James, and I'm going to try to read that from the Passion as well. I really like Romans 8:34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Look at this in the Passion. Look at this in the Passion. He says, who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one. For Jesus gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? How could he condemn us when he is continually praying every day, praying for our triumph every day? Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for me because of his love. Hallelujah. Because of his love. In that Romans 8:34, we see the four redemptive acts of Christ. Amen. His death. You see what it says? It is Christ that died. We see his death. Number two, we see his resurrection. He says, yea, rather, that is risen again. These are the four redemptive acts of Christ, right? Number one, it is Christ that died. That was his death. Number two, yea, rather, that is risen again. his resurrection. And you know, his resurrection, that's something for the rest of our lives, we have already learned a lot. We have already received a lot. We have already been blessed a lot by the revelation of his resurrection. But you know what? For the rest of our lives, we'll be reaping the harvests of his resurrection. We'll be engaging with the revelation and the knowledge and the understanding of his resurrection. That's why Paul said that I may, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Be made conformable unto his death, that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So this is a lifelong journey of reaping the benefits and the harvest of the resurrection of Christ. But I just want you to see, these are the redemptive acts of Christ. These are the four major things he accomplished. And these three, the first three things, already happened. They are eternally powerful. If Jesus never did anything for us again, that we are good. He paid the price, the ultimate price. We are good forever. He did all of this because of his love. But he didn't stop there. There's a fourth one. Look at it. It is Christ that died, so his death, number one. Yea, rather, that is risen again, number two, his resurrection. Number three, who is even at the right hand of God? So that's his ascension. He rose. He rose from the earth, from the grave. He rose from the dead. And then he rose. When he rose from the dead, he rose up to heaven. You remember when he ascended to heaven and he sat on the right hand of the Father. His ascension. And finally, number four. These are the four acts, four redemptive acts of Christ. Four major things that were accomplished through the eternal sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made. His death, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father. And number four, his intercession for the saints. Continuous, ongoing intercession for the saints. All these things were based on his love for us. They were rooted in his love. His death was rooted in his love for us. His resurrection was rooted in his love for us. His ascension to the right hand of the Father was rooted in his love for us. But also, his intercession, he's continuously, he says, who also makes intercession for us. Like we read in the Passion, who is always praying for us. Number two, number three already happened. They're in the past tense and they are the root of all the benefits that believers enjoy in their lives today. But those benefits are upheld and guaranteed today, tomorrow, and forever in our lives because of the intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ today and every day. Jesus is still praying and is still interceding for you today because of the love of God and because he is securing the eternal promises of God's redemption in our lives. Our time is almost gone tonight, but I want us to read one more scripture in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. And I want us to read that from the Amplified Bible, Amplified Version. Hebrews chapter 7 talks about this intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, still ongoing. Out of those four redemptive acts of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that we read about in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, this is the one, the first three have already happened. They are in the past, they are past tense. They've happened, they have secured everything that God ordained for our redemption. But there's one of those things that is happening today. It will happen tomorrow and it will happen forever to secure God's promises in our lives. Jesus is praying for you. Did you know that, saints? Did you know that? Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. You will never be without a covering. You will never be without the love covering of our Heavenly Father. Why? Because Jesus is praying for you. Let's close out there in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And let's read that in the Amplified Version of the Bible. I love it. all of those priests that came before him, they did their bit, but it was never enough. We've talked about that quite a bit. But this is different. Hebrews 7:25 in the Amplified. He says, therefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost. He is able to save completely, perfectly, and finally, for all time and for all eternity, those who come to God through him, since he is always living to make petition to God and to intercede with him and to intervene for them. He is the high priest that is perfectly adapted to our needs. Jesus is praying for you. You will never be without help. He's our high priest who will always be there. When you call him, he will always be there. You will always have divine and heavenly assistance. You will always be helped. You will always be kept by the power of God. Your eternity, your destiny is secure in him. Why? Jesus is praying for you because of the love of God for you. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for baptizing us again tonight in the depths and the realities of the love of God. Thank you for all of my brothers and sisters. I bless them tonight. As we close, Father, let every benefit of the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus Christ, let it become a manifest reality in every life. The revelation of it, the understanding of it, every day, every moment. The power of his resurrection, the love of God that was made available to us through the sacrifice of Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Saints, thank you so much for being a part of our service tonight. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.